Certainly glad to be with you. I asked an interest in your prayers. Now, who's surprised? I've been trying to do this quite a number of years, and I've never got to the point that I didn't feel that I needed the prayers of the people. And these other ministers here, every one of them agreeing with that, because they know what we're talking about. No matter how many times we stood here, it's a new time. And so I sincerely ask your prayers this morning. Now, Brother Marty was talking about people in the audience with their phone being distracted when it rings. Well, recently I forgot to turn mine off when I went into the pulpit. And I got going good, and all of a sudden my phone went off. I just slipped it out, slapped it shut, cut it off, stuck it back. I started back. It rung again. Finally, I just took time and said, "Brother, I'm busy." So that's distracting. Heavy scriptures like to follow along. We want to start this morning in the Gospel of Matthew, the 5th chapter, 48th verse. Word in this verse has got on our mind and tried to do a little meditating on it. The Lord bless us. We want to look at this. He says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." Let's define a word here now. Complete in various applications. But this word comes from a primary word whose base meaning is to set out for a definite point or goal. Now, when Brother Daniel and I left yesterday, we set out for a definite point or goal. But y'all, let me tell you something. Don't trust Brother Daniel's GPS. I'd looked at the map, and I thought I had a pretty good idea which way we was going to go. We was on I-85 north, going north. I said, "Brother Daniel, this is not right." But we reached our goal. How about our life? Is it so often the same way? Do we not often experience the identical same thing? We have a goal, but sometimes it's not a straight path, is it? We know that this is a experimental type text. It's not calling on a person to get perfect. The text says, "Be ye." It does not say, "Get ye perfect." It says, "Be ye perfect." Calling upon us to do something. Calling upon us. Now, in the context here, in verse 44, he says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Being perfect isn't always easy, is it? Now, it says, "Be ye perfect even as," to this degree, to this extent, as God is perfect. Now, how perfect is God?
Absolute.
Absolute. But God is light. Should not we be lights to our communities? Scripturally and gospelly, that's a way that we should be perfect, and that we're a light to our communities around and about. We're light where we work. We're light where we drink coffee. It's been told on me that I go to down to the coffee shop in the afternoon so I can preach and not drink coffee. And that might be a little something to it if they give me the opportunity. All I need is somebody to ask the question. Just get me a question and we'll get it going. God is love. And we love Him because He first loved us. His love is causative. Should not our love be causative? Should not someone look at us and our love that we express and maybe be caused them to love or respect what we are? Respect what the Primitive Baptists stand for. Because you are the Primitive Baptist Church.
Amen.
So often, you're the only Primitive Baptist people you come in contact with knows. And to them, you are the church. Yes, God is love. God is glorious. God is holy. God is holy. This is a calling to the very highest attainment. God is just. We should be just in all our dealings. God is true. We should be true. God is upright. We should walk upright. God is righteous. We should be righteous people. God is good. We should be good people. God is gracious. Shouldn't we always be gracious? You know, this is not as simple as just saying, "Be ye perfect," is it? Not quite that simple, just be ye perfect. God is gracious. God is faithful. God is merciful. God is long-suffering. God is compassion. God is perfect. God is holy. He's perfect. This is dealing with the matter and character of our life and how it should be. But we want to look back this morning. I believe this is a pattern that is in Scriptures for us. We want to look back into the book of Genesis, the 17th chapter of the book of Genesis, and to consider a man we all know. If we read the Bible at all and studied any at all. Now, In Isaiah, the Lord speaking of Abraham, He says, "I called him alone." I called him alone. And then we look, I'm going to flip over and just read this. You don't have him there. In Joshua, in verse 24, it says, "And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood," that's the Euphrates River probably, "in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, and they served other gods." They served other gods. Abraham was an idol worshiper. Today, he is known as the father of the faithful. But he was an idol worshiper. Well, Brother Griffiths, I just believe that Abraham got to considering all those false gods. And that just didn't make sense to him. So he decided there just has to be a one God. I've read that. That's people's thinking. I'm not making that up. But see, the Lord told us, He called Abraham alone. But listen how the Lord called Abraham. Now I'm fixing to describe to you the effectual call of God. Because it was an effectual call, was it not? I called Abraham alone. Lord, did you make him some offers? Did you give him some opportunities? Abraham, if you would like to, you have the opportunity to follow me. I have the ability to bless you. You can gain a lot, Abraham. You know what the Lord says? Here's the effectual call. And I took. You know how Abraham was effectually called? I took Abraham. That's the way he done it. I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood. Now, where's the motivation in that on Abraham's part? Sound like the Lord was the motivated one, does it not to you? I believe the Lord's the motivated person in salvation. Now, a lot of others wants to be motivated. But in the salvation, in this text, we're in the sense of we're preaching today, we should be motivated. But we're not motivated to attain our eternal destiny. Paul says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. So that certainly rules us out. Because we're not perfect yet, we're still imperfect. Still imperfect. But let's think about Abraham for just a minute. Or Abram at the time. And the scriptures tells us that he called him out and he come and called him to Canaan's land. Abraham not knowing where he had went. But the Lord made promises to Abraham when he come in. And look at the blessings he had. In chapter 12 it says, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land I will show thee. Notice what the Lord does. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. 8 promises there. Now, in the scriptures, that number 8 is generally associated with new beginnings. And when the Lord Jesus Christ effectually calls a man, there's a new beginning. Noah's called the 8th person. But count from Adam down to Noah, and you got 10. But Noah's called the 8th person. And did you know that there was 8 souls in that ark? And did you know how many times that God mentioned to Noah the covenant? He mentioned the covenant exactly 8 times to Noah, marking that there is a new beginning here. Here he makes 8 promises. A new beginning for this man, Abraham. And I'm thankful for new beginnings. I'm thankful for new beginnings. If I was where I was when the Lord called me, walking around a hardware store trying to satisfy people, and walking around that hardware store and this thought kept coming to my mind, you're going to have to preach for Primitive Baptists. You're going to preach for Primitive Baptists. I could do some arguing with the Lord then. But you know something? I lost that argument. I lost that argument. But I tell you something, I had a new beginning in the sense and the blessing sense, and it's not monetary. The blessing sense has been profoundly more than I could ever have experienced from working in the business that I was in. And I was on the way. I just tell you, I was on the way. I was making more money in the late 1980s than most people are making today in the dollars that we have. But the Lord, I know how the Lord can get your attention. He got Abraham's attention. things went pretty good for Abraham for a while. He was disobedient. He went down into Egypt. And I don't have time to go into all that, but he brought something out of Egypt. His wife brought something out of Egypt, and his nephew brought something out of Egypt. Ended up in a separation. Then he had to battle odds that you wouldn't think about going up against today. But the Lord blessed him with a great victory. 15th chapter, he made with him a covenant. A covenant. A covenant that is marked by grace. A great covenant. Great promises. And he has promised a seed. And not just any seed, it's going to be from his own bowels. But time passes. You ever get impatient? Abraham got a little impatient, I believe. I know Sarah, his wife, got impatient. Now, you know, sometimes we get discouraged because something's not happening, don't we? Something's not happening like we think it should be happening. Not quite fast enough for our taste. See, Sarah, I come from a different culture. She come from a time period, and this is written, this is historical record. It's written, they had it written on tablets. That is a piece of material that they had it engraved in. And it was the rules for a woman if she was not able to bear her husband offspring. And the rule was that she had to provide her husband another person to bear offspring unto him.
That won't work today.
It won't work. Didn't work then. It was too good. And so, guess what she done? Same thing we try to do sometimes. We try to fall back onto our own understanding, don't we? Reach back and get some of what we know from our natural self. Oh, I know how to fill up the church. I'll just put an announcement in the paper next week. I'm fixing to preach through the book of Revelations. And I guarantee you the church will fill up. Guarantee you people will come. Or we're going to have a free hot dogs for everybody. When I was living in Ashburn, they had a community-wide revival going on. So I go. But they made a mistake. The first year was in a tent, but the second year they moved it into the civic center. And they said, well, we're going, you know, to get people in, we're going to give away free pizza. Brother, they filled that place up that night. But I was sitting there. And I couldn't even hear the man speaking for all the running around and chattering and hollering and jumping around and banging on them wood pews. But they got them there because they fell back and they got them some pizza. You know, sometimes we can get a little pizza, can't we? Sometimes in our life we can fall back on some things that, well, this will work surely. But you know, it just doesn't seem that type of stuff pleased the Lord too good. Don't seem like it pleased the Lord too good. In the last chapter, in the last verse of the 16th chapter, and Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. We'll help the Lord out a little bit. I'll just give you Hagar, which I received in Egypt. And she will bear you a son. She bore him. Abraham was 86 years old. Listen to the very first verse of the next chapter. Next verse in order. And when Abram was 90 years old and 13 years of silence. Now, I felt like I've had some solid time in my ministry. I mean, I went through some times that just, Brother Gus, it was just dry. You ever been there? But I've never been through 13 years of no, didn't feel like I could have any dealings with the Lord. And when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. One of the old commentators, you know, I read sometimes. He said, well, I said, the Lord knew Abraham couldn't be perfect. I believe he's just telling him to do the very best you can, Abraham.
No, I don't think so.
I don't either. Won't fit the word, will it? No. That word is the same word that we have translated without spot and blemish. The very thing that the sacrifices in the Old Testament had to be without spot and without blemish, they had to be perfect. And if you ever thought about it, you're going to worship, and you've selected you a nice little bullock to carry and sacrifice, and you get there and you realize, you notice something, that on the way he had snagged one leg. He wasn't perfect anymore. He wasn't acceptable. Wasn't acceptable to the Lord. That makes me stop and think. Is all of my service acceptable to the Lord? Or do I have room to go? Do I have a goal set before me? Do we as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ have a goal set before us? Do we have a definite point that we should be aiming for? Perfect here. This word perfect here, without spot, without blemish, undefiled, sincere. Sincere. You just got to be sincere. Got to study in this word, and you know what it's, the roots goes back to? It's associated with the earthen vessels. I looked in the mirror and I said, there's an earthen vessel. There's an earthen vessel. And that word sincere meant had dealings with an earthen vessel. And the meaning, what it meant was that those earthen vessels, if they would get a crack in it, well, being industrious merchants, a lot of them were, they would take wax and they'd fill that crack up with wax. And they would take and finish over it. Now, if you put a little hot stuff in that earthen vessel, what you going to have? You're going to have a leaking cistern, aren't you? You're going to have a leaking vessel. The word sincere means, originally, no wax. No wax. Be perfect. No wax. Well, if there's no wax, you mean we don't have nothing to cover those because we're earthen vessels, and from time to time we get cracks in them, in this earthen vessel. He tells you exactly what to do. Scripture tells us what to do, does it not? Notice what he says in the third verse. And Abram fell on his face. You know what, Abram, what we need to do when we find those little cracks? Not fill it with wax. Fill it with repentance. Fill it with repentance. That's the picture that Abraham shows you there. I believe this man recognized what the Lord was saying to him. I am the Almighty God. I'm the all-sufficient God. Now here's the way I like to express it. I'm one of them South Georgia plowboys. God saying unto Abram, I am the God that does need no help. I do not need help, Abraham. If we're going to try to be helping the Lord, there's a repentance in our future if we're going to maintain some fellowship with Him. As we start trying to help the Lord, that doesn't please the Lord. There are some things He does Himself. But when He says, be ye perfect, He's given you something to do then. And He doesn't tell a dead alien sinner, be ye perfect. Okay, move on here. Look at a couple examples in the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, the 5th chapter. There was a man, an invalid, had spent many years by the pool Bethesda, waiting for the waters to be stirred and he could and be healed. But Jesus comes to him and he couldn't get to the pool because someone always could beat him in. And Jesus come to him and John 5 and 6 says, and Jesus saw him lying, knew that he had now been long time in that case, and he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? That's one of the meanings of perfect. Wilt thou be made whole? Now, notice what he says. Wilt thou be made whole? He didn't say go and make yourself whole by anything you do. Do you desire this? This man, his experience then, the Lord simply says, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Take up thy bed and walk. And then for time's sake, in verse 14, and after Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Notice what the Lord told him. Sin no more. Be perfect in your walk. Be perfect in your walk. Sin no more. Transgress no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. And I don't have time to go into that. He's saying, try to fill your cracks in your earthen vessel with wax. But repent. But repent. Just a few chapters over, chapter 8, verse 3, and the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and then they had set her in the midst, tempting him. Where was the woman? Where was the man? Taken in adultery. They're trying Christ. Of course, you know the story, and I'm not going to take time to go through all the story. Of course, Christ told him, he that's without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. And they all left, the oldest down to the youngest. And the Lord asked, Jesus lifted himself up and saw none but the woman. He said unto her, woman, where art these thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. But listen to what he told her. Go and sin no more. There's a standard, folks, that's set for God's people. It's set for God's people. Go and lift up to the standard. Your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Be ye perfect. Peter says, be ye holy, as he which has called you is holy. I want to look at one more passage right fast. Philippians. Third chapter of Philippians. I'll pick it up here. About verse 10. That I may, and well, let's pick it up 9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. This is the apostle writing. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. Paul had a desire in his heart that I may know him. Don't you have that desire in your heart today? Isn't it wonderful when you can sit down and just study by yourself and that just, that warm feeling comes within and the Lord reveals something to you that you haven't seen before. But you know, he knows how to keep us from getting lifted up in those times. The Lord's blessed me to see some things when I'm sitting there studying. And invariably, not too far down the road, I'm going to read something. He had already revealed that to somebody else before. I can't get high and lifted up. I got to try to keep all those cracks patched with repentance. Patched with repentance, yes. He says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the apprehender in that statement. Brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Abraham, you need to forget all those things that you knew when you was an idol worshiper. Sarah, I don't need your stuff you learned back then. You're under a different economy. You're under a different system. You're in the Lord's program now. And it's His program we should be following. Yes. I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ perfection personified? Is that not a mark we should be pressing for today? We should be pressing for perfection. And we should be willing to fill the crevices in these earthen vessels with repentance, which He has given us. And you know what repentance does? It restores that fellowship. After that, Abraham had good fellowship. Abraham wasn't perfect in his walk. But brother, he knew how to fall on his face. I'm not perfect, but the Lord's taught me something. I know how to fall on my face. And I have to sometimes. Because I'm not perfect. I can make some bad mistakes. But you know, there's one wiser than I am. And I have a counselor I can go through. And you know, usually that counsel's found right in this book, right here. Right here. He's given us that we need to keep that walk presentable before Him. When you're at the throne of grace, please remember your prayers.